This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's Monday. Get your freak on Monday. Gareth is not here today, so welcome to the show with myself, Ben Karpinski, Mabali Maloy, Sia Sangweni, and that's just the studio. We've got the guests coming in, we've got Amanda in the booth, we've got everything you need for a great start to your Monday. Sia, you had an interesting weekend, and there's some audio to back up such a statement.
In many different ways, yes.
Should we play this first and then you kind of describe what's going on, or do you want to...
Okay, let me set the scene a bit. Yeah. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were speaking about the idea of secret sexing.
Yes.
And I think, you know, we emphasized why the need to secret sex is important.
Yeah, and it was fair enough and we all agreed.
Absolutely. But if you needed more backing up, this is why you secret sex.
That's it.
Oh, dear. Oh, no, what is that?
That is a beast of note. So there was minding my own business this weekend.
Yeah.
I had a little manny man for some adult time.
Yeah, yeah.
And after adult time was over, I roll over and I'm like, what is this horrible, disgusting noise? And I found out that he's like this, like, snorer of note.
Oh, no.
Now, is it too superficial?
No, it's not. No, it is not. It's not.
That I've just dropped him.
Go ahead and finish your question.
No, that I've just dropped him like a sack of hot potatoes. I'm just, like, done with this situation now.
Nope. That's not superficial at all. I mean, you need your beauty sleep. You need to rest. How are you supposed to do that with some snoring beast next to you?
Oh,
yeah, that's got to be one of the worst sounds in the whole world, huh?
But it's like a deep guttural. Like, I think the clip that I even got did not do it justice.
No, it didn't. But I get what you're saying.
You know, after 2 seconds, you know, we were done. Then I'm like, okay, cool. Time
after
to sleep.
2 seconds?
Well, no,
somebody's,
I mean...
Somebody's pretty good in the situation
here. Okay. Oh, no, everything is done. Okay, time to sleep. And, you know, sleep. And he slept very quickly.
Snorers always do. This is the irony of
it,
right?
That's what I don't
like.
Snorers
have the best sleep.
So now I couldn't sleep afterwards. And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe he just, you know, is in an odd position. You know, maybe it's like his neck or something that's causing the snoring. So I do the odd and awkward thing. Like,
yeah, it's like you try pushing the bigger.
Yeah, here you go.
You go for a bit
to get them awake. And then he shuffles over, he turns over, and the snoring still continues. Yeah. I shit you not, by like 1 a.m, I was like, well, this is not helping at all.
Was he a bit chunky here?
You see, I don't call it chunky. I call it a bit of like chubwobs, which is like a cute, like a little, you know, you little touch the little belly and there's like...
A bit of a winter coat going on, okay.
Yeah, it's a little nice fluff situation. 1 a.m, I just rather opted to go and like catch up on movies. So
Was he of an older age, a more mature age?
No. Okay. Still in my
just
bracket.
Just trying to work it out, because if you're kind of slightly overweight or slightly older, this is like snore country, right?
Well, it is like... After 25, so like 26, 27. No, that's still not an excuse. But granted, just because of that, that's sole reason. Yeah, so like by stop watching movies at like 3 a.m, trying to go back to bed, that didn't work. So by like something to 6 a.m, I was like, hey buddy, I need to go, so you also need to leave my place.
Yeah.
So kicked him right out, and then I actually went back to getting proper sleep.
Which you're entitled to, which you deserve.
Not even entitled to, I have to. It's like a prerequisite. So
you kind of have to get some sleep.
Yeah, I haven't responded to any messages or calls. Not exactly adult.
No, it is. I just think that like when you snore, you got to get your shit together at some stage when you're an adult, right?
And you need to, yeah.
Just like, in life in general. And if you snore, I don't think, like, if you had said to him, so, you know you snore, right? I guarantee everything in the world, they'd probably go, yeah, casual, because snorers are also very selfish people.
Well, they're not, a lot of them aren't even aware that this.
I disagree. I reckon all snorers know.
I think
this
one, you have to be aware. No. How does this like...
No, but it's not the first time they've probably shared a room with someone.
Yes, but what I'm saying
in
is...
In an adult sense, as CS said.
What I'm saying is because they are essentially comatose in their deep sleep, they are not aware of how loud and disruptive that they become.
Somebody must have told them or suggested it or intimated that maybe they don't sleep too quietly. Every snorer does know. Trust me. Every time I've encountered a snorer, when I used to have a job, right?
I'm sorry, what?
Huh?
Every time you've encountered a snorer, like women snore?
No. Oh. Hear me out.
Wait, do women not snore?
I don't know.
I think women snore.
Anyway, can we stick to my story?
Well, Ben, no, Ben. No,
can we stick to my story?
No,
we have 2 points to get Ben, to there, but carry on.
Have you dated a snoring woman, Ben, is what I'm now asking you.
I've encountered a snoring woman once. It was a long time ago, and it may have been a similar story to Sears. But can we get back to my original story, right?
Oh, we have to get back.
This whole thing about snorers. So back when I used to have a job, I used to have to go on these stupid wanky work conferences where you have to like share a room with someone who's, let's just say, barely your friend.
Yeah.
Ugh, and it was always like, it was the worst. Actually, the worst ever was Gobani Bobo, and I will out him here.
You just named it. True. Yes.
I'll out him here, okay?
Oh, he does look like a snorer.
So we went to that FIFA World Cup in Brazil, and I shared a room with him. He didn't snore. He was a jackhammer. It was like there was construction happening in the room.
Oh.
And, but he was completely out. I mean, if there was a camera in the hotel room, I would have been arrested for abuse. I was hitting him with things. I was pushing and prodding him. I mean, and he would... Okay, look, he drank a lot on that trip as well, but he was the worst snorer
ever.
Not
in it, yeah.
And when I said to him, just like all the people I shared these rooms with, I said, like, you realize you snore quite a lot, right? I've had no sleep. I'm cranky. I will say things.
Yes.
And they're like, yeah.
It's that attitude that kills me. Yeah.
Also, I feel like we enable snorers to a degree because a lot of the time when you're in bed with a snorer, the likelihood is that you are the one who's going to get up and go try and sleep on the couch.
Yeah, why or do like, we do that?
I don't know. It's BS. What you need to do is to kick him or just push him. You need to push them with
right
your feet
off the bed.
So that they roll out and slam on the floor. And then they wake up startled like, what happened? And you say, well, you are going to go sleep on the couch now because I can't get any sleep with you in this room.
See, my problem, that's why I've rather opted to not do the explanation or the call or the message. And I know it's horrible,
no, you're right.
But I feel bad. Like, what do you say? Sorry, you're like so inconsiderate and with your snoring. Like,
sounds fair to me.
It's like the least sexiest thing, but what's that little thing that you like put on top to help you?
If you've got to wear a Hannibal Lecter mask.
I would rather that.
Or, you know, it could even just
be
a retainer.
We can be creative with a little nostril thingy, you know.
Go and see someone about it. That's the whole thing here, right? If there's something strange or funky about you, you can get it sorted out. It's 2017. We'll all be okay as humans.
Yeah.
Like I'm very grateful. I think the biggest snorer in my house is Meowsers.
Oh, wow.
See, but that's like a cute purr situation.
It is.
That's
it is
why you
cute.
Look over
she
it.
She has this little, like, every now and again, she's, out of the three of us, she's probably the loudest when it comes to slumber sounds.
But I have to say, girls do snore.
Look, I
have sisters.
Everyone's got the breathing apparatus, which means that you're capable of a snore.
It's like all in the nose or all in the throat. This one was all in the belly of the beast, so... Jesus, brother man. That's just great knowing you.
That's so cool how we can all be part of this very subtle breakup. Well, that's here.
But
you're entitled to do so.
Are you not so grateful that in the midst of my turmoil, I thought I should get a clip for the show right now?
Oh, well done.
I just started pressing record.
It sounded a bit creepy, but it's all about getting some stories in. Okay, talking about creepy. So, I don't know if I follow strange news because if it gets my interest about being somewhere in the world that I've been, I acquire the information. So, apparently there have been people dying on this island in Thailand, right?
Huh?
Now, one of the greatest holidays I ever had in my life was in Koh Tao. It's the small island in the Gulf of Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of small. It's not as developed as the other ones. When I went there about 7-8 years ago, it was very rustic. Like you needed a quad bike to get to most places. Well, apparently the 7th victim has now been found on this island, and I'm now calling it the Death Murder Island.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So travelers, backpackers, just holiday goers are being found dead here, okay? So over the last 3 years, I think it is, 7 bodies. But now the last body was of a Belgian woman who apparently was there on a yoga retreat, and she was then going to come home in contact with the mother. Mm-mm. Everything was looking normal, right? Because this place is really great. There's like a forest. The beaches are really cool. You can go snorkeling. Like, literally, you can walk to the beach, dive into the water, and there's just fish everywhere. Okay, mm-hmm. And there's coral, and you can go and fish. It's like, it's idyllic. It's great. It's everything you would expect for like a tropical sort of getaway. But 7 bodies in 3 years, and it's all the same kind of people. So now the police there believe that there's a cult
what
going
do you mean,
on.
All the same type of people. Is it like
all just general travelers between mid-20s to early 30s?
Oh, you see, now we need to get our CSI on, because I'm sure there's something to this. I don't just believe in a coincidence in a case like this.
Well, see, it. Now the latest victim, okay, so there's this woman, Elisa Delamache. Now, she is from Belgium, as I said. Her mm-hmm. body was found half eaten. Gareth, if you're listening, by lizards.
Oh! No.
And the police are saying that it was a suicide, that she hung herself in the forest, but yet she's been half eaten by lizards.
Oh, no.
Now, the mother's calling bullshit on this, right? Because her daughter did not go there to commit suicide, nothing dodgy. Police are saying, well, unfortunately, she joined a cult and blah, blah, blah. So they are saying there is a cult going on in this island. These yoga retreats aren't maybe yoga retreats as they're being suggested. But imagine that. She was identified through her dental and previous x-rays because the...
Wait, how...
This is where the story gets really, really bit gory, right? They came upon her body by noticing the same monitor lizards going in and out of the forest.
Mm.
These were the ones that were eating her. So when a lizard, this is how, otherwise the pretty wouldn't have found her, because there's certain parts of the island that are really remote, right? And there she was in this forest, and these lizards were just chowing her. Yeah, so now the mother wants an autopsy. The autopsy's not being released. The mother's got a lot of questions, of course, so she's now wanting to go there. But yeah, the police are saying, well, there's this German kind of cult that's going on, and, you know, it's like namaste, but not really namaste. And, well, it's just...
Namaste out of the forest?
Yeah.
That's what I must stay out of.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So if you're going to Koh Tao, you got to watch out for these kind of things. I was actually almost attacked by a tribe of wild dogs in Koh Tao. But then again, it was my own fault. I lost my friends. I was really drunk.
I was about to ask
and
the
I was
intoxication
trying
situation.
To walk home along a road that maybe wasn't a road. Anyway, it was a scary 5 minutes of my life. But crazy is that, huh? And like, how tough for the mother to know that you're going to this island to try seek answers. Your daughter's been half eaten by lizards.
Oh, my goodness.
Plus, you've got to deal with the fact that potential cult at risk here. And it's just foul play all over the place.
Ugh. No, this is messy. And this is nasty.
Well, I mean, that's... Mother Nature for you, you know, the lizard part of things.
Well, yeah, I don't even see, it's not even the lizard part about it. It's about, like, who, you know, it's not enough to murder someone, then you leave them out just to, like, die alone. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Well, we don't have to, because we got some feedback on the snoring. Someone's very upset with you, Sia.
Oh.
The message simply says, idiots just fall asleep before the snorer and you won't hear us. Well, that's
where
no. How about you go to the next room? How about that?
I told you, that's snoring arrogance again.
So firstly, we are the idiots.
No. How about you go to the other room?
Yeah.
Secondly, if you do not tell us, how are we meant to know that you snore? So how are we meant to we can't preempt something like that. And it's my place. I should have kicked him out earlier, actually.
Yeah, so true. I once thought I had met Mr. Wright until I noticed that he would wake up and go sleep on the couch downstairs every time he slept over because of my snoring.
Yeah, you see, the snorer should be the one that gets up to sleep on the couch.
Interesting part of that story is there that the use of the word every time. So he didn't give up on you.
Shame.
So basically, prior to snoring, you certainly had...
Shame.
Some value in the person's life.
But I really don't think, and I've never done my research because I don't snore, but I don't think you even need a massive operation of some sort. I'm sure there's some herbal remedy of...
There is. There's different ways. Again, the same person who sent this message is saying, oh, I'm a heavy snorer, but I always make sure my guest sleeps first, then I sleep afterwards. So what? Does a guest get 8 hours in and then you get stuck in, or do you give them like a... sort of half hour head start? Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Because even if you get the little half hour head start, we'll still get woken up in the middle of the night with the snoring.
I think we're uncovering that snorers are probably the most inconsiderate, horrible people of society.
Definitely.
Man, did you agree with that? Sorry, that's the wrong one.
Like, my dad's ridiculous.
Does he shake the house?
And it's so bad, but my mom actually like hits him on his back.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
when
yeah.
He snores, she's like, dwah, dwah, dwah. And then I'm like, oh, shame, poor God. And then he wakes up and he can't go back to bed. So I do feel bad, but no, it's really inconsiderate, I do think.
Yeah, well, see, snorers, this is how this week's going to be a big change in your lives. On the back of this podcast, on the back of us saying this, you need to get your stuff together. It's about time.
Her snorer shaming.
Yeah, drink some, I don't know, rooibos, chamomile, something tea. Mix with honey, try to sleep in a different position, see what works, but we can't.
It's fixable. It's fixable. If you've got to go for an operation, so be it. You got to consider everyone else around you, especially if you're the single game as well. Now this guy, let's see, had adult time with over the weekend.
Adult time?
Adult time in my no-no area.
Exactly. He was all up in Sia's no-no area, but now it's no-no with Sia ever again because he snores.
Yeah. That's it. He'll never get to come back. And well, that's why we secret six, I guess, because he'll come back.
Okay, well, he's not totally out of the game. Anyway, what else is happening, Mubs?
So we all remember that guy who was banned from the One Spur franchise, and then some other Facebook petition was started for a whole bunch of people to boycott Spur, blah, blah, blah. Well, as it turns out, the man who was banned from that Spur, or rather he was banned from all Spur outlets nationwide following an angry exchange, turns out that this guy has a string of arrests for assault. News 24 have revealed that the man, who is a car salesman based in Rustenburg in the Northwest, had 5 cases against him between June 2005 and November 2011, which allegedly also include him assaulting his wife in public.
Seems like it's taken a very long time to get this information out.
I'm surprised that people are still interested in, you know, digging up whatever dirt that they can on this person, but, you know, somebody at News 24 has. And has now brought it to the fore. The cases include 3 of common assault, 1 of malicious damage to property, and
well,
one...
Well, there's no point calling him common. We worked that out a long time ago.
Oh, okay, Ben, you said it. I didn't. And 1 of contravention of Domestic Violence Act. In 2 of the cases, it is understood that the man was accused of hitting his wife with his fists at a rugby club. And then in another case, the woman opened a common assault case against him after he allegedly hit her at their home. 4 other cases against him were withdrawn, and he was found not guilty on 1 charge of common assault. Attempts to get comment from him were unsuccessful despite calls and text messages that were sent to him during the week. But yeah, I guess some people are still interested in finding out more information with regards to this guy.
Well, there's always consistency in behavior, right? So, like, when you saw those images of that person acting out at the Spur, I don't think that was the first time. This now confirms it. If people are shit, they generally have a history of being shit. Then it suddenly just turn.
But can people learn, or can they unlearn being shit?
Yeah, if they're not indulged. See, it's the same thing with the snorers.
Oh my gosh. Did you just put the snorers in the same category as a domestic violence?
Yes, I think it's the case for it. Kelly says that my hubby's parents both snore so loudly that they have not slept in the same room for years.
Yeah.
They wake each other up and occasionally themselves. Getting back to the original snore story about sleeping on the couch every time he slept over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this relationship went on for 5 years like this.
Oh.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We as humans have got to stop indulging this kind of crap. It's not going to kill us to make things better.
I'm trying to see the silver lining in the situation. And as well, I still think like sleeping is the most unglamorous thing, or rather waking up after and seeing someone mid-sleep is the most unglamorous thing. So hey,
it's pretty gross.
It keeps the fire alive if, you know, sleep in separate bedrooms and you only see each other made up and looking sexy.
All right, but you know what, guys? I mean, you know me and devil's advocate.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, do you know for a fact what you do in your sleep? Like, what if you are that person who, I don't know, just passes gas the whole night and you suffocate the person that's sharing the bed with you?
That's, yeah, that's a story.
All right, Ben, over to you.
No, it's just something.
The floor's yours, Ben. Come on now.
Look, it's more of an inside joke. It's something that Daniela accuses me of. But I mean, I don't think. Like, I think it happened maybe once or twice, and she holds it against me no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, because ladies never pass wind, so, I mean,
no,
that's never happened, obviously. There's no reverse to that story, of course. You know what, if Mialas could talk, that's all I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm sure she would reveal the truth.
This is something I'll actually, like, screw it, I'm proud of myself for this. I have almost perfected the art of sleeping well. I don't really move much. I try to not like sleep with my mouth open. Like I try to look right and tight.
Yeah, but you still don't know what you are doing when you are in that deep sleep.
All I know is I do talk sometimes in my sleep.
Oh gosh.
And it's like full sentences. So
but like if you had to break it down, what are the big no-nos for when you're sleeping, okay? Obviously violent movements is a no-no.
Yes.
Okay.
Hugging the blanket.
Hugging the blanket, also no-no. Masturbating furiously, I guess, would also be out of the picture.
Well, wait.
I'm sorry, what?
Who does that? Oh, well,
I'm just trying to throw it out.
People.
I'm throwing it on the table.
Let's
here.
Not judge. Let's
because
not
we've
judge.
Got people who are so aggressive, like this message here. Fuck all you self-righteous non-snorers. See, we can't. No longer can we take these snorers like so lightly. These people are a threat to society.
We need to be aggressive with how we combat this, actually. This is a problem. Exactly. It's problematic.
And then the message goes on to say, okay, Sia, as long as you enjoy 2 seconds of adult time.
It was slightly longer than 2 seconds, but okay, yes.
These snorers, they're out to ruin our lives. Okay, so I reckon those things are out of the picture. I mean, if you talk in your sleep as well, that could be funny. It could be hugely annoying.
Yeah,
it could be hugely hurtful as well.
Hurtful in what way?
Well, just imagine you talk in your sleep, right? And you talk about other men or other women.
Oh.
Reveal your deepest, darkest secrets.
Exactly. Or what you really think about people.
Sleepwalkers, I imagine, could be annoying as well. Because now you've constantly gone to be, you know, got to be keeping your eye on this person to make sure that they don't hurt themselves when they get into one of their trances. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that would piss me off as well.
Okay, I will tell a story, right?
Okay, let's go.
Yes,
okay, so Daniela wasn't feeling great recently, right?
Wait, is this shaming yourself or Daniela? Do you have her approval if it's shaming her?
She does have my approval. I do have her approval.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, okay, so she wasn't feeling so great. She had a stomach issue. And let's just say there was a moment where she was passing the gas, right?
Right.
So Meowth sleeps in the bed with us because it's winter. Like all she cares about is being warm. So she'll sleep under the covers a little bit. And then I kind of noticed that, to my surprise, Daniela did pass some slight wind. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, So then I'm thinking, shit, where's Meowth's? I look under, like, you know, I was thinking like, because it happened more than once, okay? Like I said, she was going through a bad bout of health.
Yes.
And I was thinking, cheapest, where's Mouses? It could be like a canary in a mine shaft down there. So I open up the duvet, and there she is. It's like, Mouses.
Mouses, are you okay?
Yeah, she was all right.
Was she knocked out by the smell?
She was
suffocating?
She was just, she was in a deep sleep, but I was worried for a second.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about a fart that's trapped underneath a duvet. Ooh.
And
you know,
lingers
blanket
up until you
and imagine being the trapped pet in
oh
there.
Oh my gosh.
And the pet's going
It may have given Meowth's extra warmth. That's why she didn't move.
And her face is all squashed up, and she's like, help,
oh,
help.
No, that is disgusting. It is a problem that we all go through, like, heck.
Absolutely.
I'll have to say, another no-no for me is a violent sleeper. Like if you move a lot.
Tossing and turning.
Yeah, but also like your leg is now here on my side, then your arms are here, then you move around and you...
Okay, well, guys, we've got another message here. Angry Graham. Although, that's not probably a fair name, Graham. Sorry. I just called you Graham. So, Graham says, who cares about some car salesman from Rustenburg? So what now? How is that news? News 24. Anything to bait the issue, hey? Yeah, Graham, I think it was just a background story, but this man is violent. With him being a car salesman, I guess it's just a profile piece. I think it was more about the fact that he's hit his wife with a fist. A couple
Which
of times.
Which kind
of
makes him a douche, Graham.
Yeah.
It makes him a douche.
Yeah, right back at you, Graham.
What's the problem here? We expose douches every day on this show.
Yeah.
Do we need the douche daily report?
Well, probably, yes.
The douche of the day.
There are a lot of douches.
Well, Graham's going to fight us on that. All right, I reckon we should move away from farting and snoring and sleeping.
And other bodily functions.
It happens, I guess, judging by all the messages that have come through. It's not exactly rare. Yeah, so Jay-Z dropped a new album.
Yes, he did.
This is big news, right?
440. Thank you, Sia.
Now, yeah. So the whole backstory really is like Beyonce and Jay-Z's lucky number of sorts has always been four. Like the Roman numeral for four is Ivy, and hence their daughter's name, Blue Ivy. And also like his birthday is on the 4th. Beyonce's birthday is on the 4th. They got engaged on the 4th of some month. It all has something to do with it. So yeah, people are really like up and like really so super excited about that. I still haven't listened to all of the songs on the album. But for example, there's, you know, a song where Jay-Z raps about his mother coming out as lesbian finally after all of these years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, at this age. There's a song that highlights some sort of the cheating rumors that Beyonce discussed on Lemonade.
Yeah,
there's basically everything in there.
Yeah, so basically he had a threesome and he rhymes about it.
Okay.
Might just be honest. Do you really think this is all true? Or do you think the business savvy of Beyonce and Jay-Z, they sit and they go, cool, how can we make more money off where we are? Always say, I'm an equal lover and hater. I love me some Beyonce, but also she's a businesswoman. So she goes, how can I get more intrigue?
But look, it goes back to the classic case. Like, look at the Kardashians, right? There's no subtlety there.
Mm.
They do what they do because they want to get money and fame. Everyone else tries to do it in a roundabout kind of way, but everyone essentially is being a Kardashian.
Yeah.
So Jay-Z hasn't released an album since when?
Oh, that's something that...
Since Magna Carta Holy Grail,
We have to give it thought, right?
Yeah. Probably 2013 or 2014.
Okay. So he wants to stay kind of relevant. Of course, people know that he's in this hugely high-profile relationship. Beyonce is like the queen of the world. So the only way he can actually stay relevant, because Beyonce's eclipsed him music-wise, obviously... recently, he has to go for the real deal, right? He has to. So if people have rumors about him, he wants to then stop the rumors by being so revealing. And secondly, everyone's going to talk about this because it's real. It's not like he's rapping about Trump or other shit that everyone talks about.
Yeah.
He's rapping about his things. So people are getting A, an insight, and B, they're all going to go around this music right now. So yeah, it makes perfect business sense. But at the same time for him, and like any artist, any creative person, it's ultimate closure because now you're getting to release all these frustrations and you're doing it in your purest form, which in his case is rap music.
Mm, and he gets to have the final say on the matter, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. And if he's put it out in the open, that's one thing about being like people taking the piss out of you, right? If you make it open business, yeah, what are you going to do?
Exactly. You own whatever that is.
I'm not exactly offended as things I made a whole song about it. So yeah, you can say Solange beat me up. Who cares? I'm going to rap about it.
But you know
and
what?
And we make money off it.
Yeah. I mean, even if this is, you know, just perfectly constructed, which is what a lot of people had said about Lemonade initially, like, oh, well, you know, there's Beyonce and Jay-Z perfectly constructing a new publicity stunt. Even if that is the case here, does it matter? Because at the end of the day, if you're a fan of Jay-Z and Beyonce, you're going to remain a fan. If you've never liked their music, that's going to... be the case still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so part staying with the Carters, part of what happened this weekend was that the names of their twins have been revealed. So they had a boy and a girl, and the boy's name is Sir.
S-I-R.
Sir Carter, yes. And the daughter's name is Rumi. So there's speculations about it being, you know, named after the poet, etc., etc. But one super ridiculous fan also went way the extra mile by decoding basically the track list from the Lemonade album, which are all the different songs. And if you scroll around, the letters make up Sir and Rumi Carter. So supposedly this has been at play for months now with the Carters, but oh well.
I'm not a parent. I'm in no place to talk about this. But don't call your kids Sir.
Well, you that's just bloody stupid.
You know, Rumi after poets makes sense.
This is
Sir?
The thing.
That's just self-indulgent crap. That's like snoring. I bet Jay-Z snores.
He is a snorer.
I bet he does.
He's a snorer.
Kind of behavior. He's a snorer.
This is such a celebrity thing to do, though, when it comes to naming your children, is to just be so out there with the whole process.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it is, if us as normal, average people, because we're not celebrities, if any of us had to name our children funny things like that, you know, people would look at you and say, are you crazy?
But Sir Sangweni has a...
Who do you think you are, Jay-Z?
Yeah.
You know, like, and yet these guys get away with calling their children all sorts of ridiculous
Sir
names.
And Satan.
So now this kid's going to have awkward moments purely based on his name. How can you ever live a normal life? I guess you never are going to live a normal life if those are your parents. But that just, again, it's just...
Well, we'll be sad if Sir Carter goes and has like a Misha Barton life. That will be sad, you know? You have to live up to a name like Sir.
What if he wants to Caitlyn Jenner at some stage and his name's Sir? Well, it's another name change, another issue at Home Affairs.
Yeah.
Well, got time to waste all at Home Affairs like this.
And this, by the way, hasn't been confirmed by Beyonce or Jay-Z, but people just have known this because these are the names or the terms in the business sense that have been trademarked over the past week or so. So that's why they're pinning it to the twins. But all in wrapping it up, I think the best line from Jay-Z's new album is the fact that he says, ain't no such thing as an ugly billionaire. I'm cute.
Oh, shame. That's because people have often said that he is ugly. Yeah. Or he is the ugly half of that relationship.
But that's the truth. With money, hey, he's not ugly. He's cute.
Right. So Michelle had a bug recently. And she says she farted her cat right out of the bed. Yeah. See, these things happen, huh? Another message here saying cats always fart near us, so it's payback. Yeah, fair enough. And Megs, Gareth is not here, so you can keep sending this message to me as much as you want, but it's pretty pointless. He's not here. Gareth is away. He has a fever, or he could just be farting in bed like anyone else. This is what happens. Sickness is sickness, huh? So remember last week I told you about the biggest Twitter people in the world? Mm-hmm. So he's got the biggest following.
Right.
And it was...
South Africa. We were looking at South Africa.
Well, we're looking
we?
At the world, yeah.
Oh, in the world, it was Katy Perry.
Correct. Yes. It was Katy Perry. So the equivalent Instagram list has been released. So number one is...
Is it still Selena
Gomez?
It is Selena Gomez.
Huh.
Selena Gomez Selena Gomez.
I just love the way you pronounce her name, Selena Gomez.
She's got 122 million followers. Outrageous, outrageous. And what this equates to, okay, so this list has been thrown out there. So however many followers you have, people then extrapolate how much your posts are actually worth to a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Selena Gomez's posts are worth 550 million, sorry.
No,
whoa.
No, no.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. $550,000. That's what her posts are worth.
So a little over half a million.
Yeah, because you've got 122 million followers. Kim Kardashian is second with $500,000 per post because she has 100 million followers. Cristiano Ronaldo's got 104 million followers, the world's richest sports star, so 400,000 per post of his.
Well, posting his new twins as well.
Yeah. Of course, this is, I mean, obviously this is a lot of best world scenario, but, you know, do these people often do the branded post, do they not? Depends on the brand, I guess. Kylie Jenner is number 4, Kendall Jenner at number 5, Khloe Kardashian number 6, Kourtney Kardashian number 7.
No.
So yeah, that family, this Instagram money.
Mm.
And then Cara Delevingne.
Delevingne, she's the model.
Okay. Wow, Ben.
Well, there's a G and an E. There's lots of consonants in that one.
Victoria's Secret something and...
Gigi Hadid.
Hadid.
Gigi Hadid.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ben.
Have I not seen this?
She's also a model.
Yes, I got that one. Okay. And then LeBron James. That's your top 10 of biggest Instagram stars.
Oh, okay.
But LeBron's surprised. Got like 30 million followers. It's nothing.
In the Kardashian world, yeah.
Yeah, but, so he's like half a Kardashian.
With you know, Instagram being so visual, though, it makes sense that all of these gorgeous-looking model-type people are in your top 10, because at least in Twitter, you can rely on someone for their wit or their humor or whether they break news instantly, and that's why you follow them. But you just want to double-tap a bikini shot on Instagram and call it a day.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's all about.
But it is. I mean, this is why people, I think, is going towards Instagram a lot more, because people read less, right? Mm. It's all about visual stuff. So if you're not something on Instagram, then you're basically nothing in this whole world.
Mm.
I'm a big nothing.
My buddy Milo, you are just...
I am a big...
You are such a failure.
Fat nothing.
But that's just the thing. With celebrity, that's what I meant by that. If you're not on Instagram, you're not a failure. Just don't snore. But like in celebrity terms, like if you're not throwing things out there and being a big deal on Instagram, like Twitter's like... I wouldn't say it's nothing, but this is definitely the primary social media thing nowadays.
Yeah, that's where all the money is, seemingly.
And all the profile.
Hey, yeah, to a certain extent. But it's also surprising to me that these wholesome girls are at number one, though. You would expect that, like, a Kardashian would top the list, but Selena's like this girl next door, doesn't do anything risque. Similarly, the number one most followed person on Instagram in South Africa is Mini Dlamini. And she's also this girl next door, smiling, whatnot-y.
Yeah, but she is ridiculously attractive, though.
Yeah, you see, a lot of that has to do with the popularity, is how good-looking they are.
Yeah.
Hot girls are always going to attract the most.
But now...
The biggest following.
But now, what if Instagram allowed nudity?
It doesn't?
Sure. No, it doesn't.
I mean,
Bali, you really are nowhere. That's so embarrassing.
No, it doesn't.
Why don't they allow nudity?
You're not allowed nudity on Instagram.
But there's plenty of nudity on Twitter.
There
is.
So I'm surprised why Instagram are so holier than thou.
Well, I guess they took the stance from the beginning that they were going to have no nudity, and it's something that they've upheld. Whereas...
But aren't some of those bikini shots, like, quarter to nude?
Yeah, sure.
And that's
but
why
if
so many things are filed as, you know, inappropriate.
But
you can report
any nip,
it.
You can report it, gets taken down pretty quickly. It doesn't last long. Nudity does not last long. I mean, if you had to go home today, open your account, go nude, it wouldn't last long.
Do they shut your whole profile down? Do they just take the picture down?
I don't know. See, I don't have boobs.
Oh, okay. Well,
does somebody have to report you, or does Instagram itself, are they policing all of you?
Look, I think it's all Instagram have people. Imagine that's your job. Prevent boobs from being on Instagram. That is your job, because it would take full-time people, right? You've got to work 24/7, and your screen is just basically one big feed. It's like, boobs, out. Imagine how much inane bullshit you must see as an Instagram spotter.
No, it'd be a tireless job.
You would need therapy.
Yeah.
Because, Instagram doesn't even want nipples. Like, even, particularly female nipples, and that's why there was that whole free the nip...
Yeah.
Brouhaha, because we're like, what's wrong? Well, you can show male nipples. Can you at least give us the chance to show our nipples?
Exactly. I mean, if I can show my nipples, I want everyone else to show theirs. Rich Mulholland, have you ever shown your nipples on Instagram?
I have not.
Why not?
Oh. Well, I don't know. I never thought about it as a sport or a follow builder up until this point.
Well, it turns out that we've all been missing out on that action.
Yeah, listen to you guys. I think we need something new, like Fartstagram as well, where you can share your farts online. That would be it.
I totally agree. I mean, look, how long has it been now? All we've got out of it, out of social media, is voice and pictures.
Mm.
We need to get some sort of...
It's time to up their game.
We need to tap really into the other senses.
It really
is. Yeah, scratch and sniff. Everyone should just be sitting there scratching their phone.
Well, Rich, if there's anyone that's going to pioneer it, it is you. What's new in your maverick life?
Well, I want to give a bit of an update on last week. I don't know if you recall it all. Last week I was talking about goals and bucket lists.
Yes, and how we don't really have any, realistically.
Yeah, I realize I don't have enough. So one of the things was, I've been chatting about this quite a bit in terms of like just general conversation with people. And I realized one thing that I wanted to get across. It's almost a cautionary aside about setting goals. And I'm calling it escape goal gravity, which is a little bit of a play on a Howard Mann book, but Escape Goal Gravity, the idea that we have to be careful that we don't get so consumed by specific goals that we totally overshoot the mark. And here's a case in point. About 14 years ago, I started public speaking in order to try and help promote Missing Link, my company, which is obviously a presentation business. I figured that idea, you know, never trust a skinny chef. If I wasn't on the stage myself, how could I justifiably go out there and sell the fact that we're a presentation company? So the original reason I did it was purely a credibility play. Now, go back to that point in time. At that point, when I'd started Missing Link, if I went out and did a sale, it didn't matter how much it was. It could be 100 grand, could be 500 grand. It always gave me a thrill. It was always like a 7 out of 10. I always came away feeling good. And I realized that the difference between the amount didn't make that much difference. My ego was equally fulfilled when anybody at any price signed off on some work. Then what happened is I went down this journey of doing this public speaking. And the public speaking was about, you know, as I said, promoting the business. But the problem was that every time I got off stage, people cheered at you. They cheered for you. And that was a 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I put the relatively small gain public speaking business, because I wanted to chase that thrill, ahead of the Missing Link business. Right. And what started happening is I started pushing that small thrill a whole bunch more for no given reason. When I'm looking back at it now, when I'm kind of mapping out my goals now, I realize, wait a minute, why am I pushing this thing? It already achieved what it had to achieve. And now I'm set up on this where I stopped trying to sell Missing Link work and started trying to sell presentation work. So the speaking work, so the speaking job thrived, but Missing Link kind of just carried on going. And I feel like this is a cautionary tale that people need to be aware of. When you're sitting there mapping out your goals, you need to decide why you're doing it in the first place. And you need to be very, very sure that you don't overshoot the mark. Because if you do, there's a massive risk of you having a loss in another more important part of your life, often just hidden by the fact that something looks shinier and better.
That's a good point, Rich. I'm going to be very introspective here and say I want to do more in sport, and now I've overshot the mark, and I'm hosting this show today. I mean, it's all gone wrong.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this quite a bit for me. Like, I'm just trying to work out when I'm mapping, I'm trying to create this kind of in my book. Jesus, it sounds like I'm punting on my stuff here today, but I'm really not. In Legacy, I wrote about this principle called Goldilocks.
Yeah.
Buy online now, kids. But I wrote about this principle called Goldilocks, and it's the just right. Do you remember way back when we had phones and everybody wanted to make phones smaller? You had to have a smaller phone, and eventually got down to that stupid little Ericsson phone. Yeah. And it was ridiculous. And we totally overshot just right. And then it went to big, thin phones. And now we've totally overshot thin and totally overshot big. And you have those stupid phablets. And I think in almost everything, you have to know what your Goldilocks is. You're just right. Because, I mean, if it was up to me right now, no phone company ever would be making a thinner phone. They would keep the phones exactly the same size they are. And with any added space they get, they'd be adding battery.
Sure.
Because we have a battery problem, but we don't have a thin phone problem. But they forget, and they keep going for thinner phone. And that's what happens, is we often just completely overshoot what the original intended purpose was in the first place. So when I'm now sitting there mapping out my goals now this week, I've started kind of trying to plan in a bit more order. I've put them as a hierarchy. I've put them as an organogram, like you imagine a company to look like. And a lot of the goals are feeder goals. So if this, then that. If this, then that. And by trying to map out my 100 things I want to do before I die in terms of a structured organogram instead of just a list, all of a sudden I've started to realize where my just enough is. And I guess my thought is that people should maybe try do that. Try map out, I want to do this until then in order to achieve that, and then work up from there.
I guess there's some kind of like some nice mistakes being, you know, overshooting you end up taking on new avenues. But that whole saying about what's my just enough, that's really nice. Also because it's quite difficult. Like, it's nobody really knows until you get to that point sometimes, though.
Yeah, and bear in mind, though, you it's okay to put that down, get there, and then mindfully say, you know what, to hell with it. I, that is my just enough, but things have changed, and now I actually want to be a global speaker. That's what I want to be. It's completely okay to do that intentionally. It's just not okay to do it completely accidentally or without thought. And that's my worry, is a lot of what we do, we pursue certain things without thought because we forget what the original goal of what we're doing was, what the original goal was in the first place. And I think if you just get a little bit mindful of when you write down a goal, I want to do this in order to achieve that or because of this. And as long as you put that down, then it gives you permission. So if something changed that said, well, a better way to do this is to actually do that, then you can change yourself. You don't have to stay true to an old, dated goal. But just putting the goal itself be thinner. That's never gonna, you know, that's not gonna be helpful because then what is thin enough?
Yeah, it's so true. Especially when you look at people in like in the health and fitness world as well. You know, we all have these insane challenges that people get up and do. But like, what is past that?
Yeah, I mean, I saw this guy speak last week at an EO function. He's called the Iron Cowboy. Have you heard of him?
No.
He did 50 Ironmen in 50 consecutive days in 50 states.
Whoa.
That's insane. And where is he now? Where do you go in life after that?
Exactly. Well, that's what he said. He said he's not going to get out of bed now if it's not for seven figures, because he's done he's pushed himself as far as he possibly can.
But that's
quite he mountain biked up Kilimanjaro. I mean, he's just done stupid things.
Is that even possible? Wow.
Apparently, says it's much faster coming down.
How you even decide that? How you even make that happen? Jeez.
Yeah, but again,
he was telling this one story that carry on.
No, all yours.
Well, he was telling this one story that he got through. It was like at Ironman 30 or something, and he fell over in a huge cramp. He said, you know, when you wake up with that calf cramp, that cramp in your leg, and you can't move. He said he got that through his whole body, and so he said to his friend, quickly get a medic. And his friend came back with a phone. He said, is that a medic? He said, no, it's your wife. And the wife said, come on, do it, carry on going, don't be stupid. And he said, no, I can't do it. He said, I don't want to speak to her. Get the medic. And he came back later and he said, it's your daughter. And he was like, oh, come on. And the daughter came on the phone and said, Dad, can you walk for me? And he said, no, absolutely not. He said, and there was a pause. And then she said, Dad, can you crawl? And I was like 20 kilometers. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I just can't crawl. And then there was this longer pause. And then she came back and he was like, Dad, can you cartwheel? And then he was like, you know, this kid believes in me so much that I actually have to try. And he kind of got up and he limped the whole way to the finish line. And as he got the last 10 meters, he did consecutive cartwheels to get over the line. Wow. The guy's a legend. Anyway, you should probably check him out as well. Iron Cowboy.
Yeah, will do. I did hear that story, but like, didn't Eddie Izzard also do a variety of marathons? What was his number? He did like
50 consecutive marathons.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a strange
cult. So this guy did the marathon with a bicycle, the cycle and the swim attached to it.
Oh yeah, I mean it is like a whole different bunch of levels on top of that. But there's got to be something special. But Rich, I love the first point you made there about the whole thing. You wanted to kind of get a presentation business going by making yourself like the example of that. And again, with this iron cowboy guy, it's like he can achieve now anything in the physical realm on the back of this. It's like everyone's going to go, well, he did that, obviously he'll do this.
Yep, I guess the one challenge for any of these guys, these sportsmen who achieve the goal, if they want to do these things often to get onto a speaker circuit or to write a book, is that they're constantly chasing the dragon because you can only be hired once to talk about doing 50 Ironmen. And bizarrely, nobody wants to now hire you in 2 years' time to talk about doing 20 of them. So you've constantly got to be pushing the boundary over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, so it becomes a big challenge. And again, if the why is public speaking, I don't know, there could have been something else.
So true.
All right, Rich, where are you off to next? What other great locations have you got on your speaking trips?
I'm in Cape Town now until tomorrow, then Joburg, and then DC on Saturday.
Oh, very nice. All right, yeah. Well, Gareth will have to be back next Monday. He's got some sort of fever today. That's why he's not here.
Shame. I'm speaking in Washington on Monday, so I'll be I will be away next week, but I'll be back the week afterwards.
Cool. All right, Rachel, thanks for your time as
always.
Awesome,
guys. Look forward to it. Have a great couple of weeks. Bye bye.
All righty. Ciao.
Wow.
50. Again, like,
no,
wow.
I can't. I can't get your head around that.
I mean, like, no, Rich's insights aside, I can't get over the fact someone did that. When you do one Ironman in your life, right, that is like an achievement. That's what you tell everyone about for like the next 50 years. It's kind of 50 in 50 days. Mm-mm. It's crazy. Good question. Good question here on the WhatsApp. It doesn't. Like, guys, yeah. Good question here is, if Mini Dlamini was a snorer, would she still be hot? Well, obviously not.
No, okay. I mean you still have sex with the person, just don't sleep with them.
Yeah, I take it back. She's still hot until she's still hot, snoring.
But then just don't share the bed with her. You've got to focus, people.
Yeah.
Focus.
Keep your eye on the prize. Yeah. Priorities straight.
Yeah. So if you are just joining us now, Gareth is at home with a fever. He'll be back tomorrow, hopefully, all being well. These fevers, they are seasonal. You know, it's winter. You hang out with the wrong people. Before you know it, you can't move. So we've got...
oh, my gosh.
That escalated very quickly.
I had it last year. Remember last year, I was coughing like a stray dog.
Yeah.
And I was out for like 10 days.
Pretty much, yes.
I pushed through. I tried to come here. Gareth mocked me for being sick all the time. And it was a rough time.
He banished you to outside the studio. There was a time where you spent a few days outside the studio. Cause
well, yeah, I felt better about that, coughing into the thing. Mm. Right, so we've got... the show does still very much go on. Sia, tell us about our guest in the next hour.
Mm-hmm. Director, producer, and playwright Aubrey is on his way, and that's coming up straight after 8.
Yeah, Aubrey's going to be a fascinating interview. This is a guy who basically has taken some of the biggest happenings in South Africa's recent history, and he's made huge productions out of them. So to get insights into what he... I mean, this guy, many, many things I'm sure he's been described as, but he's got to have amazing vision. Amazing vision.
Oh, yeah.
And quite something. So that'll be coming up in the next hour. Before we get to that, though... Have you ever had those moments, I know we've had those moments too, where you're just not listening or you're stupid?
Yeah.
And then you get found out.
Oh.
Okay, how about this?
And unfortunately, Jamie, it does look like next weekend brings us an overwhelming chance of rain showers. Both Saturday and Sunday, maybe plan something indoors.
Looks like some good opportunities to get the sprinklers out or maybe get out to the lake.
No, she just said what? It's going to rain for a whole week, dumbass.
Indoors.
I mean, she couldn't have made it any clearer.
That is my fear.
It does look like next weekend brings us an overwhelming chance of rain showers. Both Saturday and Sunday, maybe plan something indoors.
Looks like some good opportunities to get the sprinklers out or maybe get out to the lake.
And the worst thing about that is that the woman who just delivered the whole thing, and there's this awkward silence afterwards, like 5 seconds. The woman who delivered the weather, she's just smiling and nodding like, uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes,
Did she even hear
what I said?
See, that is my fear, particularly in meetings sometimes. You know, it's like late in the day. The last thing you want to do is be in this room right now having this meeting.
Yeah.
You have a lot going on in your head. And then halfway in, you realize, you know, right through someone's presentation that you were not listening. So you're now like, oh, shit. Okay, how much can I fake it to make it seem like I was listening? That is my fear, that I'll one day say something stupid like that.
But another thing, like in the defense, these people on live TV in these live productions, that they've got their producer microphone in their ear, right? Mm. So they could be saying, okay, cool. Now we're going to go away from the break. And when you come back, we're going to talk about the dog who got stuck in the fence. And then the other woman stops talking and you're like, okay, so yeah. Nice day for outdoor. And you're like, oh, shit. And everyone then just rips you off. And then before you know it, you're on a show right here on Cliff Central. Everyone's calling you a dumbass.
You need to understand the power of being vague. That's it. Just.
Well, you also get people who can multitask to the point where they can listen to two things at once. I think that is a Jedi quality. I know I don't have it. So basically, where I'm sitting here, okay, in Gareth's seat and the main thing behind the desk, Amanda can talk to me through my headphones.
Mm.
Okay. Now, that's her job, is she's producing, she's helping this happen. So if I'm talking to you and like Rich or someone's like calling in, she'll say so-and-so's on the line, okay? So that's what she's meant to do.
Yeah.
But now, like, if I get two voices in my head, I lose the plot.
You basically short-circuit.
Spares out, yeah.
I short-circuit.
Yeah.
Too much.
We can always tell when that's happening because you get this dazed look on your face where you look like a toddler that's just realized that they're stuck. Without his mother, and he starts looking around like, "Where's mummy?"
So thank goodness people can't see us right now, because imagine that would be compounded.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's move away from the fact that that's my face, and catch you back. Yeah, next hour, some Maroon 5.
This is CliffCentral.com.